Yeah, it's down this part of the territory. It's y'all, right? Yeah. Y'all. And some parts also, you just have to. I was telling someone here not long ago, yeah, we were talking, and I said, there's some folks where I come from that they've never heard of a creek. It's a crick. So, you know, we're going down to the crick. So that's, if you say creek, they think it's a Native American tribe, you know, the Creek tribe. So, but no, they say crick, and they say that in some other parts of the country. So anyway, all right. So y'all, we have a message here, y'all. And we're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And I didn't know, as the Lord was working this out, that we would have some right in our midst that are going through this very thing. It's like, but God knew it. And I'll read this. Haven't explored this one. This is New Living Translation. Haven't really explored this passage in a message in a long time and just really paid attention to it. So it doesn't just jump out. But then all of a sudden it's like, well, you better. And this is where the Lord's leading, and so that's it. So it says in 2 Corinthians 13, beginning with verse 5, examine yourselves to see if your faith is genuine. Test yourselves. Surely you know that Jesus Christ is among you. If not, you have failed the test of genuine faith. As you test yourselves, I hope you will recognize that we have not failed the test of apostolic authority. We pray to God that you will not do what is wrong by refusing our correction, and I hope we don't need to demonstrate our authority when we arrive. And said, okay, so Paul, you don't see this side of Paul all the time, but this is the way he was with the churches he founded. He was tough. He was loving. He was tough and tender. There was a book titled that at one time, Tough and Tender, and it was about Christians, and it was talking about pastors and those who serve. There's times to be tough, and then you got to be tender, but you got to be tough. And it's a hard line to know where. And he says, I hope we don't need to demonstrate our authority when we come. Do the right thing before we come, and even if that makes us look like we've failed. We cannot oppose the truth, but must stand for the truth. We're glad to seem weak if it helps that you actually seem strong. He said, I'm writing this before you come, so I won't have to deal severely with you and so forth. And so, but, you know, and you can read the rest of it. But the most important part is examine yourself to see if your faith is genuine. Test yourselves. And surely you know that Jesus Christ is among you. If not, you failed the test of genuine faith. And as you test yourselves, and he said, I hope you recognize. So let's look at some things that we need to have in mind here. He says, first, take the faith test. And you know, and it's like, what does that mean? It means that I have to examine myself. And he said, examine your. I thought, as I was looking at this, it's like, what the heck is he? Examine yourself. You know, how do I do that? You know, what do you do when you take a spiritual exam? So the first thing you do is say, you know, am I a Christian? Am I really? Not a church Christian, not a pew Christian, not a religious Christian. You know, I can quote the word, I memorize the word, I can quote all this stuff. But am I truly a genuine believer in Jesus Christ? That's your first step in the faith test is, am I a genuine believer in Jesus Christ? Do I really believe? And if I do, do I have this growing awareness? And see, listen, you say, what does that mean? Well, let me take this a step further. I believe in Jesus Christ. What does that mean? I repent of my sins. I become aware that I'm a sinner. I'm not aware of everybody else's sins. I'm aware of my own. And that's called conviction. And he convicts me where my sins are bigger than anybody else's. And I see how great they are. And they're going to keep me from heaven and send me into hell. And so I repent of that. And I ask Jesus to come into my heart. And I confess him as my Savior and Lord.
Amen.
And so you need to ask yourself on the first step, have I done that? And then secondly, do I have a growing awareness of Christ's presence in my life? You see, what does that mean? Did it stop there? Was it emotion or was it real? This is not, you know, you've been hearing messages lately, not designed to make us question whether we're saved, but to help us be solid in our faith and our salvation. I'm a Christian, but do I have a growing awareness of Christ's presence? In other words, am I growing up in Christ? Am I every day more aware of Jesus than I was in the beginning, or am I less aware? And it's a question to, because he said, examine yourselves, be sure that you're where you're supposed to be. So, do I have a growing awareness? Am I more aware of Jesus today? And so you say, okay, how do I ascertain that? Well, before you get mad at that other driver, before you get upset at the waiter or waitress who's got an attitude, before all your emotions spill out, is there an awareness of Jesus there before you, slowing you down? Can you sense the conviction of the Spirit in your heart? Saying, easy, this is not right. Don't blow it. Don't have a temper spill here. Don't tell this person off. Do you sense that first, or do your emotions come in first? And so test yourself. Do I have this growing awareness that when something challenges me in my life, is Jesus Christ amongst my first thoughts, or does he come secondarily after I've already blown it? And you got to test that's your growing faith. And your faith is growing when you're becoming more and more aware of God and less aware of your feelings. Everybody with me? There has to be a place, we're going to talk about this in maturity in a moment, spiritual maturity, where Jesus Christ is conquering your feelings. It's not what I feel anymore. It's not what I want anymore. It's what he wants. It's his presence in me. Christ in me, my hope of glory. You hear me quote that a lot. That's a powerful verse. Christ in you, your hope of glory. Is Jesus Christ, I'm becoming so aware of him that I can't help but stop and think about him and what he would want me to do. What would he do here? How would he handle this rude person? How would he handle this mean, arrogant person? What would he do? There was a guy named Sheldon who wrote a book, about that a long time ago. Anybody remember that? And he talked about, I don't quite remember the title of the book, but the book was about stopping and asking yourself, what would Jesus do? What would he say here? And it was a tough book. It was, it kind of went by the wayside because everybody was going, but it was very convicting. Now, what would Jesus say? What would he do? Well, I am representing him. He's living in me. People are seeing Jesus through the way I act, say, do, or what, the words I use, or the way I don't. So what would Jesus do in this situation? Ask yourself that. And so when testing, he said, you got to test your faith. Don't just take it for granted. Your faith right here is being tested right now. God is saying to you, he's not saying you don't have faith. He's saying, for whatever reason, I'm allowing you to be tested. I'm allowing you to go through this, not because I'm mad at you, but because I love you and there's just something here. I'm going to work a miracle. I'm going to do something great. And I'm just saying, do you believe in me? Do you trust me? And what you're going through is for every one of us right here, and that's what he's saying. I'm going to let you experience things that's beyond you. You can't fix, you can't control, you can't do anything but pray. And I'm going to clear out stuff. I'm going to clear all the stuff away that you've been getting, not that you've been anything, but we get caught up in politics. We get caught up in this. We get caught up in that. We do, in the finances and blah, blah, blah. And he's saying, I'm going to just take that away. And I'm going to let whatever you're going through, it's going to be bigger than all of that. And then I want you to be able to look at your faith and say, Can I, will I make the decision to trust you through this and trust your chosen outcome? He said all things, he causes all things to work to the good of those that love him and are called according to his purpose. But you got to believe that. You've got to believe in him to do that. And see, he'll let the stuff fall apart. He'll let it just, things happen. And we're going, what is this? Why this horrible thing? And I was at the VA this past week, and I was talking to one of the docs there. But he noticed that I was a little bit different than I usually am. And just not quite up there. I'm usually razzing everybody and messing with the doctor. Everybody, you know, they know I'm coming. They hear me down the hallway. And they said, so what's your issue? What's the problem? And I couldn't figure it out. And we talked on a while, and I said, I think I'm afraid. And I said, I don't know what I'm fearful about. And he looked me in the eye and said, yes, you do. Sounds like a VA doc, right? You know, I'm not going to tell you, but, you know. Well, what it ended up, and I wasn't thinking about it, said, what happened to you? What happened a year ago on the 21st of this month? Oh, you are rehearsing going through on the 21st of September was the day I had that emergency surgery and came that close. That's why my heart reaches out to you. You remember how close a call that was? I had that total blockage, and it was just, and that's this Thursday, which I'm glad some are coming out to see me, because, and my cousin's coming down, and it's like, this is a plot. And I thought, why would my cousin Eddie choose to come this week? And it all came together. He knew. And it's like, but we go through these things, and there's scars left from that. And we're not conscious of them. But when he started talking to me about it, it's like, you're reliving it. You're anticipating that day. That was a day of just total shock and nightmare for you. You just couldn't believe this is happening. Neither can you, neither can any of us. I look on it now, and it was like, and that was one of the most hard-hitting, direct tests of faith I've ever had in my life. Now are you going to trust me? You wake up in ICU, and there's things everywhere, as you know, if you've ever been there, and you've been there and see people, and you're going, what's happened to me? What's happened to my world? And God's saying, I let this happen to you and to your world because a lot of things was becoming about you and your world, and I'm going to bring you back and focus you on me. And so as I'm approaching this anniversary date of this first year anniversary, but knowing now what it was just kind of something wasn't right type deal. God was saying, I want you to renew this faith, and I'm testing your faith even with you this anniversary of this thing. I've been even feeling funny things that aren't there. And I know that may sound weird to you, but you do. When you've been through things and you hit that anniversary, that you'll feel stuff, you know, and I'll get a little twinge or something and say, ooh, ooh. You know, and it's like, Tony, you trust? You trusting in him? Are you going to focus on yourself? And there's always that challenge, right? And so examine yourself. Where's your focus? Are you growing in your awareness of God and what he's doing in your life? Look, he's got everything planned, and it's for good. Nothing is happening that's surprising God. It just surprises us. And that's when our faith is really tested. And some things in life slap us down. And it puts us face down on the ground. And we feel hopeless, helpless. And he's saying, yes. Yes, I've allowed this, not because I'm mad at you, I'm not punishing you, I'm not chastising you, none of that. I'm growing you. I'm showing you how big I am. I'm wanting you to know that no matter what the Texas Senate or legislature is up to, or what the president or Congress or anybody else is up to, I am God, not them. No matter what the news says or anything else, He's saying all the time to his people, to you and me right here, don't let that become your life. Let me be your life. Instead of turning on the news every day, turn on Christ. Turn to the Jesus station here, and it's in print, but see what the news is for the day. Because this is the only news, it's truth. No matter what you watch, you're getting a bias. And this is the only absolute truth. Everybody with me? I'm up here swinging any bat for anybody. I'm simply saying, you know, for any political thing or whatever. But the only truth you're going to get is right here. And you better stick with it. So do I have a growing awareness of Christ's presence in my life? Am I actively seeking to draw closer to Christ? That's a faith test. What am I doing to become closer? Am I having a prayer time? Not just a few words of prayer on the way out the door. Am I seriously sitting down with God? Am I seriously reading His Word? Am I seriously just being still before the Lord and listening? Do I really love Him? Do I accept His love? And let me ask you this. Do I accept His forgiveness? Do I accept His love, which is part of forgiveness, part of His love? Do I accept His love for me, that He loves me in spite of myself? Well, let me ask you this one other faith test, and we'll move on to the next one. Do I accept His will? When I test my faith and I look at it, see, these questions you need to take home and ask yourself. Do I really accept God's will? Or do I want Him to do what I want Him to do? Ask yourself really, truly, do I accept His will? Am I willing to accept God's outcome? And I'm going to tell you straight, there are issues, there are things of people and stuff right now. When I'm working through this message, and I thought, I've got to bring something here that I'm not 100% on. And then the Lord reminded me, you're never 100% on any of them. If you were, you'd be me. I told you to bring the Word. I didn't say you were perfect enough to deliver it. Because it's like, are there some things in my life that I'm 100% totally accepting God's will in? And I had to answer Him, is 80% close enough? But really ask yourself, are you accepting His will, His choice, His sovereign will in everything? And that's a faith test. Because faith requires me to accept His will and accept His love. Accept His mercy. Accept His grace. Are you accepting His forgiveness in your life? Totally? Is your conscience clear? Have you let Jesus Christ forgive you and clean it up? Whatever it is. Done, it's gone. Cast in the depths of the sea. Removed from you as far as east is from the west. Have you really let Him do it? You keep beating yourself to death over something? You're afraid to come out? And just be a real person because of something, and you've got this little thing that you keep hiding. You know, it's not letting you be real. Give it to Him. So there's part of the faith test. Secondly, be joyful. Be joyful. You know, be happy. You know, just be thrilled. You know, here's where I'm coming from. I didn't ever read verse 11, and I don't know why, but I'll read it now. Dear brothers and sisters, I close my letter with these last words. Be joyful. That's where I'm coming from. Grow to maturity. Encourage each other. Live in harmony and peace. And saying, oh, goodness, we have to do all that? Well, yeah. Then the God of love and peace will be with you. I don't know why I'd stop there a while ago. I had so much I wanted to say on this faith test, but let's look at the rest of this. He says, test your faith. And then he says, I'm closing my letter. You know, he's pretty tough. He said, don't make me, he sounds like a father with his children, doesn't he? Don't you make me come back there. And that's what he was saying. You know, we just, you know, do the right thing before we come. You kids better get it right. How many of us have said that? You know, don't you make me come back there. Don't you make me stop this car. And I've often asked, how many times are you going to say that before you really stop the car? And they learn real quick. Oh, we'll just lighten up a minute. They're not going to really stop the car. But I'll guarantee you, if you ever do, there's total silence back there. And that's what he was saying here. I was just looking at that and said, whoa, you talk about a guy that's a father to his people in the church. You know, don't you make me come there. You better have this right. And so he says, get this faith thing right. Can you accept what God wants for you? You accept right now the way it is. You're fine about your finances and all that. And with all of that, then he says, here, after you take it, taking the faith test, he said, I want you to, I close my letter with these last words. He said, so Paul, you know, I'm not through with you yet. Here's something else he says God has for you. Be joyful. It's like, are you kidding? Be joyful. When you go right here to buy your next few pieces of bacon, meat, how joyful are you when you see that price? Isn't it amazing that two or three little plastic bags of stuff, because it's $150 and $200, and you're going, what did I get here? Are they charging me extra? Do you ever stop and look? I do. I stop and look at you step back there and say, did they double some things up here? I was just looking here, the other day, and it's like just a pound of hamburger meat, and it was $7 and something cents. And it's like, for a pound? You know, this is ground up meat. This isn't exactly the choice cut. If you want a nice ribeye steak, run over it. And just call a truck and haul it off. Because, you know, I was looking at some of it, and I guess different price, but some of it was $14, $15 a pound. Does that make you joyful? And then the Lord, and I was asking, you know, I ask God these things, because I do. I question God on stuff like that. How do you want me to come and bring this message when it's not joyful? And then he reaches out to say this. Or this is what he impresses on my heart, which I call him speaking to me. It's like, I want you to be joyful that you have the health to go to the grocery store and complain. I want you, Tony, to be grateful to me that you were able to walk behind that basket to get there. Do you see all the people who cannot? I want you to be thankful that a year ago, you were approaching a time where you were going to be down and not able to walk from one room to another. I want you to be joyful that you're not there now. And I want you to be joyful that you have the eyes and the eyesight to see the price of the meat. And suddenly, it's like, boy, we get focused on the negative here, and we're not thanking God for all the good. And I don't know how it is here, but you can go to HEB up there in Kerrville, and you're going to walk half a mile to get to the store. I just get so aggravated at that place. And, you know, and Jim and I were talking about that a while back, but I was there, and, you know, I usually every Sunday I have to stop there. You know, I swing back through to the grocery shop. That's a bad day to go. Everybody, you know, I always think, you drive up and say, what if this crowd came to church? Wow. And they are going to their church, in a sense. Sometimes you get to worship and things like that. It's like, look at them congregated in here. And by the way, I had a moment of faith test and I didn't do real well. But I was in there last week, my little basket, and I was going towards the meat counter. And I pulled it out of the way, pulled it on the side by as far as I could. And I was looking over, you know, and they got those center islands, and you're looking at all the stuff there. I was trying to find something on sale. And I realized there's a presence. Then I looked back, and there was this lady somewhat older than me, and her basket was facing head on to mine. Now, I'm over against the rail by the center meat thing, so there's, 10 feet, 15 feet or more for people. She wasn't going to do that. She pulled up and she bump, and I could hear that clink. And there's all this, it's like I'm in the slow lane, pass me. And she bumped that basket. And something growly got in me, and I wanted to say, I guess this is the way you've been all your life. You just keep bumping people and getting what you want. I thought it, and God just kind of snipped it and said, "What's that message you're working on?" Really? That's how he convicts me. It's, what's that you're going to say? So I didn't do anything, and I said, "Excuse me," but I didn't say it like that. And I wish I could tell you I did. I said, "Excuse me." And I know that wasn't correct, but that's the best I could do at the moment. And I backed up in the slow lane, hoping nobody would rear end me, and pulled around and said, "Please, don't let me get in your way." Now, you can make your own judgment as whether I handled it well enough or not. But, and then I think about it later, and it's like, you let one lady with a basket that bump into yours, and it's like, it's not your basket. It's H-E-B's basket. So if she dents it, it's not your own you. And it's like, so what are you really upset about? And really, what's the point? Be joyful. Just be joyful. You know, sometimes when somebody's bumping your basket in life, just move out of the way. You with me? Sometimes, why don't you just go around it and move on instead of standing there getting all upset about things? God says he will let no temptation come upon you but what is common to man, and he will with the temptation provide, or the test is what it really means, trial. He will with that provide a way of escape so you can endure it. So why don't you just go around it? Friends, be joyful. He talks about in Ephesians, don't get drunk with wine, or don't be intoxicated with anything on this earth, especially with wine or drink or whatever it is. But singing in your heart, with song, making music in your heart. Where's your music? Why is it that one basket bump in yours can upset your day? He really got a hold of me about this. It's like, Tony, look at this. You're letting this bother you like this? Over a basket that you don't even own? What is involved here? Your pride, your dignity? I mean, whatever it is, you need to confess that to me. See, God lets things happen to bring us back to see ourselves like he sees us, and we need to confess what he's seeing, right? How many times over pride have we gotten ourselves in a fix? It was just nothing but pride. Worldly pride. How many guys, and guys, we're real bad about this, have we gotten into stuff with each other over pride? Seeing good friendships messed up over pride. Just let it go. Give it to God and get happy. Be happy you're there where somebody can bump your basket, really. And I get up there and they ring it up, and it's like, oh, God. And you pay for it, and it's like, did you pay for it? Yeah. So be thankful that I gave you enough money to pay for it. There's a bunch of people out here that can't get what you just got in that basket. And so you begin to think about that. And you say, I'm just getting so focused on the bad, and yet there's a lot of good. And you get in your vehicle, and you have a vehicle. And you drive it, and you go to the gas pump. I know that's not thrilling. But you do it, and you're able to put some fuel in there, and you get where you need to go. And we forget to say, thank you, God, I'm still going. And this old vehicle's still running, right? Don't get fixated. That was a thing in the military that was a deadly. Don't ever get tunnel vision. Don't get fixated. you get up there flying, you better have situational awareness, right? And know everything, everywhere. And the same on the ground. You got to be aware all the time. And never get fixated on one thing because something's coming at you somewhere else. And friends, that's how the devil works. He tries to get you fixed on a problem, focused on an issue, and you don't see him slipping around trying to do something else. Be aware all the time. Give it to God quickly and have that inner freedom flowing forth from God's presence within you. See this? Test your faith. See, be joyful about some things. Be happy. And then he says right here, grow to maturity. We don't like that one. I don't like that one. And that word maturity, you know, it's tied in with the word perfect. In Matthew, he says, be perfect as your heavenly Father's perfect. And that word in the Greek means fully mature, whole, complete in Christ. In other words, there's not part of you in Christ and part of you in the world, and you won't let go of it. Can I ask you real quick just this question? What part of the world are you still hanging on to? What is it that's your security blanket in the world? What is it that you turn to when things get hard on you? Is it Christ? Is it prayer? Is it fellowship with God's people? Or do you turn to something else to lessen the pain? Check yourself. What is it that's your security blanket here? He said, grow to maturity, be whole, complete in Christ. Not piecemeal, not three-fourths of you in Christ and a fourth over here saying, no, I've got to have this. And in Christ, you don't got to have anything. You can choose to have it, and he can provide it, and he can let you do it. But if you have to have it, you're not completely, see what I'm saying? You're not totally in his camp. There's things that God lets you enjoy, but you don't got to have it. So check yourself. Am I decided in Christ's holy word? As you know, mature Christians deal with problems, conflicts. This is serious stuff we're talking about. Here's one of the areas that to say, am I really growing in Christ? Do I have that situational awareness of Jesus in my life all the time? How do you handle problems and conflicts, difficulties? Do you avoid them? I had a guy said, And more than one, but one particular I remember telling me, Tony, I just can't do confrontation. Let me say to all of you, there's others of you, I'm sure you hate confrontation. You don't want to have to confront something. But if you stand by and let bad keep happening, it's going to get worse. Every Christian is called to confront the devil. We have to confront evil. And confrontation is a part of the deal. I don't like it either. But it goes with my turf. And that doesn't mean that you jump on somebody because you don't like the way they do their hair. You know what I'm talking about. But when you see somebody and you know what they're doing is hurting other people, they're discouraging other Christians, they're gossiping, They're just being mean. There's a time to step up and say, this is not Christ-like behavior, and you know it. And as your family member, you know, let's walk through this together. You got some problem with them, sit down with them and work it out. I'll sit there and referee it, but we're going to stop this. Did you know that's the way the church stop anything? That's the problem. It meant so many churches would not have had divisions if the people in the church would have set up and said, we're going to stop this right now. If you got an issue, come here. You and you sit down right here. And we're not leaving until you fix this. But people will stand by and I just don't want to get on. And you let your church get ripped apart. And now there's nothing here, but I've seen it happen in other places. And it's like, all because people would do nothing. And you say, well, we're going to pray. I've heard this so many times. We're praying about it. Oh, come on. You know, there's a time to get off your knees and get on your feet and get with it. That's what life is about. So that's part of maturity, is facing your difficulties. Don't run from it. If you've got something with a kid or a husband or wife problem, face it. If you can't face it, get some help with it. Work it out. Don't neglect it. Don't be in denial. Don't withdraw. I've had seen people withdraw and they're just going to pull away. I'm just going to hide. And also, don't become bitter. The mature Christian admits and faces and deals. And they speak the truth in love. And that's what he was talking about. He said, I want you to be joyful and grow to maturity. I want you to learn. And what was happening here? The Corinthian church had lots of problems. They had lots of worldly influences. They had lots of false teachers. And he was telling them, you're going to have to face these things down. Sticking your head in the sand won't work. You're going to have to get involved, whether you want it or not. When you accept Jesus Christ into your heart as your Savior and Lord, you're involved. You can't sit on the sidelines of life anymore. All right, let's move on. We're going to close. Encourage each other. Encourage each other. Live in harmony and peace, and a God of love and peace be with you. Friends, you hear this a lot. You know, the word encouragement in Scripture. If you're saying or doing anything with people that's hurting them, hurting their feelings, taking them down, if you're being abusive, come on. Husbands and wives, grab hold of this. You're not called to be your partner's conscience. God is their conscience. Let God convict them. You know what you do? You pray. You pray and you appeal. I still do a little premarital counseling, and one of the things in that process that we talk about is facing difficulties in marriage and communication. Do not neglect an issue, but sit down and talk it out. Don't yell it out. Don't get mad. And by the way, I'm going to give you this. This is free advice. If you ask somebody what they think, if you ask for their opinion, don't dare get mad when you hear it. Everybody with me? No, tell me what you think. No, honey, tell me what you think. No, just speak your piece. And they tell you, and they're saying, well, you asked. You will not have a solid relationship with Jesus, his people, or in your home unless you're willing to let the other person express themselves and own their own feelings. You don't have to like it, but you do have to love them. You with me? And there are people who do that with me. They'll get me outside church and say, I know you're the pastor and how you, but tell me on this political issue, would you just tell me your opinion? I'll be more than glad to do that out there. And I'll say it sometimes, and well, I just can't believe it. You ask me, and I'm telling you, and if you can't handle the way I feel, don't ever ask me again. And I'm serious about that. You ask me my feelings, I'm telling you. Tony, what's your opinion on it? You want to know? If you really want to know, right out there when I'm heading to my truck, I'll tell you. And if you want to know what I think of you, ask me out there. I'll do the pastor thing. Oh, I just love you. You know, pastors learn to lie at an early age. You know, I'm just playing. The truth is, we're not here to do anything to make a person droop their head, think less of themselves, feel bad about their life. We're here to lift them up. Why? Look at all the negative we're surrounded with. We don't need any more junk, do we? None of us do. We need to be lifted up. We need to hear an encouraging word. Say something nice. Lift people up. Say, hey, you know, I like the way you say that. If you can't find anything, husbands and wives, you need to say that to each other all the time. You say, oh, we've been married long enough. You're never married long enough to keep encouraging. Don't stop encouraging. Encourage each other. And by the way, this is free too. Why don't you go out for a date now and then? There's a few. I've had a woman or two tell me she doesn't like flowers. But guys, most ladies like flowers and they like them outside of special occasions. And I'll just throw that in. Anyway, because I don't want the guys not to come back to church anymore because they don't want to hear this. So I'll stop there. So give them hope. Give people hope. Give them confidence. Stand by them. By the way, stand by people. Be their loving family member, their church member. Offer grace and more grace to every Christian. Every person in this room needs grace and more grace. And offer yourself to be a grace giver. And then this is it. So you'll be going to lunch in just a moment. He says, live in harmony and peace, and the love of peace, the God of love and peace will be with you. You know, Jesus in the Beatitudes, what did he say? Blessed are the peacemakers. And what's he saying here? He said, live in harmony and peace. And what is that word, harmony? Do you realize it means unity of one mind? I've had people rear up on, you know, that's the old term I grew up with. Boy, they reared up on that one. That's just an old country term. But I've had people become upset with that when they said, well, wait a minute. I don't have to think like everybody in the church. No, you don't. But you do have to believe in Jesus Christ to be a member of his body. And you have to believe he's the way, the truth, and the life. And you have to believe this word right here. That's the unity he's talking about. No, you don't have to think alike on what Dr. Pepper or Coke is, which one's the best. Or maybe you have another. I don't know. You know, you don't have to think alike. I've had them say, you know, you don't have to, but don't make somebody else feel bad because they do. It's good. When he says unity and harmony, be of one mind is what it means. It means be of one mind about Jesus Christ, how you're saved between heaven and hell, and what's in this word. We have to agree on that. You say, well, I'm not sure about interpretations, and oh, get over it. If it says it here in the word, let it be. And don't tell me that you study under Dr. Bahuka-Huka, and you know, and you learn this and that. I don't care what he says. I have a doctorate too. And I'll tell you right now, when it comes to this, those things mean nothing. The great doctor that wrote this is the only authority that we have. And none of us are an expert in this. I'm sure not. Nobody is. And that person you listen to on TV is not an expert either. They're probably the least expert of anybody around. That's just my opinion. I should have gotten on my soapbox. Harmony means we're of one mind about Jesus Christ and we're of one mind of his word. This word is absolute. This word has no error. It is the living word of God. We good? Now, if you want to eat a hamburger and I want a cheeseburger, we'll talk about that. You don't have to be. Everybody gets this, right? We know what we're saying. So we may not. We don't have to think alike. And you know, you like different music. There's some music that drives me crazy. I go in Walmart, and there's sometimes in there I can't take the music. And other people are going, you like that? You see them, and it's like I'm walking around saying, that's just not me. And it's like, what is you, Tony? And I don't want to tell people. If I tell them what music I like, it dates me. And I don't want anybody to know, but I like softer music. I'm sorry, I do. Do I like contemporary worship? Yeah, I can get with that. But I'm talking about, you know, a lot of these stores you go in there, you just feel suddenly, you're getting agitated. Okay, enough. What car you drive, what clothing you wear. I like Henley shirts, that's obvious. Others don't like them. Somebody asked me, you never wear plaid. I don't like plaid. You know, I just don't. I like solid colors. Who cares? Then let's talk about peace. You know what peace means? You know what the literal word means in the Greek? Peace means, in the Greek, cessation of war. So really? That's what it means. To have peace means there's no war. The conflict ceases. And so blessed are the peacemakers, those that don't bring conflict but help resolve it. We don't know, we don't understand what a peacemaker is. A peacemaker probably gets more involved in controversy than anybody else because they're having to referee and negotiate and bring peace out of turmoil. So blessed are the peacemakers because they really get shot at. We think they're just the people who go along. You know, remember the 60s? Some of you do. You know, peace, peace. You remember all that stuff? What a load of, you know. Peacemakers, peace, cessation of war, are the ones that get in there and stop conflict. Well, that's the biblical view of it. So peace is ceasing that war. We don't create conflict. We resolve it. We purpose to get along. We purposely help one another along. And he says, if you do all this and you do what's in this word, you do a faith test. You let me search your heart. What does the scripture say? What does he say in the Psalms? Lord, search my heart, know me, and what? Reveal to me any unclean thing. That's what we are to pray all the time. Just show me, Lord, and lead me. And I add my own little piece to it. And God, when you reveal it, please lead me to confess it. Don't let me be stubborn and try to justify it. Just lead me, Lord, to confess it and repent. Because I want you to know, I'm human too, and I'll try to justify some of my thoughts, don't you? And God says, no. All right. So you've got it all today. You've got the Word of God. You got your marriage counseling. You got your church counseling. You got everything, you know. And there's no extra charge for any of that. Keep tithing. I'll take the regular charge. But, you know, there's no extra. And God, we thank you that in your Word, you've said it all. Be joyful. Grow to maturity. Encourage each other. Live in harmony and peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. And give yourselves the test of genuine faith to see if this stuff is for real. Father, let it be for real. And if it's not, then cause us this day to get it real. And we turn it over to you and our hurts and pains and sorrows and all our weaknesses and failings. We give to you this day, knowing that you are almighty, all righteous, all powerful, all forgiving, accepting. God is on our side, because if God be for us, then who can be against us? God did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. So how will he not also with Jesus freely and graciously give us all things? Glory be to you, Father. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And God bless you all for being here this day. Amen.